Amen. Certainly, it won't be very long. We don't know how long it will be, but it won't be very long. It should behoove each of us to get ready for that day. If our lives are not in alignment with the will of God, we need to take corrective measures so that we will prepare ourselves adequately, getting ready for that day. Good to see you here this evening. Good to be here. Good to have Brother Bonner and his family with us. We had a very challenging experience this evening, but it was also an exhilarating and enjoyable experience, and we want Brother Bonner to know how much we love and how much we appreciate him. Turn in your Bibles, please, to this familiar passage that Brother Arthur Davis read for us. We want to focus our attention narrowly on verse number 9 of chapter 12. I want to talk to you about love, the conduct of love. Paul says here, this is Romans 12 and verse number 9, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. This verse describes the character of true love. The word dissimulation means hypocrisy, play acting, putting on. The exhortation of the verse is to have love that is authentic, love that is genuine, love that is not hypocritical. Unfortunately, there is a lot of hypocritical love around masquerading as the real thing. Many who talk about love, who wear t-shirts about love, who have bumper stickers on their cars about love, and who sing about love, do not have real love in their hearts, and they do not demonstrate real love in their lives. This verse exposes their love as being fake, as being hypocritical. They concern abhorrence of evil and affection for good. Paul sets these forth as two qualifying factors for love not to be hypocritical, the real thing. Abhorrence of evil and affection for good. Abhor that which is evil. The word abhor means to hate something. It's a strong word and denotes a very strong attitude. Many will be very surprised here about this aspect of love, because a lot of folks erroneously conclude that if you love, you cannot hate. They do not believe you can do both. It is true that you cannot love and hate the same thing at the same time. But true love will always hate evil. If you love truth, you will hate falsehood. If you love virtue, you will hate immorality. The psalmist says, "Ye that love the Lord, hate evil." Psalm 97 and verse 10. Sometimes when a preacher or a church leader take a strong stand against some evil, many folk will criticize his strong stand by saying that he lacks love. Sometimes parents who hold their children to high and lofty standards and make them toe the line will conclude that their parent lack love. You don't love me. Well, I don't love you according to your definition of love because I won't allow you to have your way. But because I love you, I insist on you following the guidelines and principles and honoring the values that I have instilled in you. It is not that I lack love as a parent. It is the fact that I demonstrate love for you. If you love the right, you will hate the wrong. We as Christians must love that which is good, and we must hate that which is evil. Turn over to Proverbs right quick. I think we will be well served to look at Proverbs chapter 6. And of course, in this particular passage, the wise man of antiquity, in verse number 16, says, this is Proverbs 6 and verse number 16, "These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him." Now, these are some things that God hates. And you know, I just believe that the things God hates are the things that we ought to hate. Mm-hmm. What God loves, we ought to love. And if the Bible delineates certain things that God hates, then you and I ought to hate those things as well. Here's some things that God hates. A proud look. Don't you hate a proud look? I didn't say hate the person who exemplifies and exhibits a proud look, but we need to hate pride and make sure that pride is not exhibited in our own lives. Remember, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before fall. Not only does he hate a proud look, but he loves the opposite. He loves humility. But additionally, he hates a lying tongue. Do y'all hate falsehood? Do you hate a lying tongue? If you hate a lying tongue, then you ought to love a tongue committed to proclaiming and sharing truth. Hands that shed innocent blood. It tears me up and really rattles my cage when when someone, some innocent person is robbed by a mean and vicious criminal, and their life is taken, the Lord hates hands that shed innocent blood. And we should too. The Lord not only hates hands that shed innocent blood, but God loves hands that are caring and sensitive, that are loving and helpful, that are positive and serving. Those are the kinds of hands I want to see in operation. Those are the kinds of hands we should have great appreciation of. Furthermore, God hates a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. You know, some folks are always sitting around and they are trying their level best to figure out a way of getting over on somebody. Always trying to figure out a way to take advantage of somebody. And during this particular time of the year, especially, they say you should be wary and very cautious because there are scammers everywhere seeking to take advantage of everybody they can, especially the elderly. And that just gets my goat. That galls me. That stuff you have worked hard to acquire, somebody is sitting around trying to figure out a way to separate you from your resources. So a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, the Lord hates. I want you to turn quickly to Jeremiah 17 and verse number 9. We're talking about the heart. And Proverbs lets us know, I believe 4:23, that we should keep our hearts with all diligence, for out of them are the issues of life. But Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And the Lord hates that heart that devises wicked imaginations. And not only that, but God hates feet that be swift in running to mischief. God hates that, and I ought to hate it, and you ought to hate it. But we should love feet that run with the message of salvation, that run with good news in order to share it with those who need it most. Not only that, but God hates a false wicked, a false witness that speaks lies. You know, it's bad to lie about anything, but it is worse to lie on somebody. Not too many months ago, was reminded of a story of a young man who was accused of raping a young lady, and he was tried, convicted, and sentenced to prison. He spent 10 long years had accused him finally decided that she would tell the truth. And she let the judicial authorities know that she had lied on this young man. I guess old conscience Bonner started bothering her, and they released that young man from custody. God hates a false witness that speaketh lies, and we ought to as well. But we should prize and appreciate the tongue that speaks forth the truth. Because Jesus said, ye shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Finally, the wise writer of Proverbs indicates that God hates one who sows discord among brethren. You know, don't you hate that? For folks to stir up stuff? For one to sow discord, cause division and dissension, cause confusion and all kinds of other attendant evils. You know, some people just somehow derive a perverse pleasure from sowing discord. Rather than sowing discord, we should seek to facilitate unity. Rather than sowing discord, we should be perpetual proponents of peace. Don't you love folks who try to make people, bring people together and facilitate reconciliation? It was Jesus who said in the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. God loves peacemakers. Don't you love peacemakers? All of us should. If you want to practice authentic love, you must hate, despise, abominate evil. But you must also not just have an abhorrence of evil, but affection for good. Paul says, cleave to that which is good. The word cleave means to be glued to something. If you love the Lord, you will be glued to him in faithful fellowship and service. If you love your wife or husband, you will not be running around with somebody else, but will be glued to your spouse in affection and loyalty. If you love truth, you will be glued to your Bible and study devotion and meditation. If you love holiness, you will not be frequenting dens of iniquity, but will be glued to the church in faithful attendance and service. True love is loyal love. True love is attached firmly to that which is good and holy and pure and righteous. I bid you check the condition of your love by measuring it by the ruler of this verse. Love, let love be without hypocrisy, without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Conduct of true love. There is no question, no doubt about the character of God's love for us. It has been authenticated. It has been validated by the demonstration of it on our behalf. And I'm grateful for it. Jesus said, as I mentioned this morning, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. Jesus laid down his life for you, laid down his life for me. Sacrificed his life, died in my place, in my stead, paid the price for my sins. And he wants us to reciprocate his love. Because he loved us, we ought to love him. Some affirm, but Brother Jones, I love the Lord. I sure enough love him. And they are only expressing a weak, a feeble sentimentality tinged with emotion. Jesus says, and this is the acid test, if you love me, keep my commandments. And he asks, why call ye me Lord, Lord? And do not the things I say. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. You know, he loved you enough, loved me enough, he died for me. My question is, do you love him enough to live for him? You're not a child of God. Become one tonight through obedience to the gospel, by believing that he did love you enough that he died for you, that he was buried, that he was resurrected from the grave on the third day. Believe that good news with all of your heart. Repent of your sins. Confess your faith and submit to baptism in water for the remission of your sins and arise to walk in newness of life. And you can begin to practice the principles articulated in Romans 12 and verse number 9. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, but cleave to that which is good. You're here and you're already a child of God, but have fallen by the wayside and need to be restored, need to rededicate your life. You can do that through repentance, confession, and prayer. Will you do it as we together stand and as we sing? Tis for you and me, let us haste, oh haste, to the brink. 'Tis the fount of love and the source of abundance, and he bids us come.